Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning, and the teams around here continue to lose. Mets and Yankees now combined 11 straight losses after singing their praises at the end of last week. This week and last weekend has been miserable for them. Yes, the Yankees score some runs but lose another low-scoring game. They're at 6 losses in a row. They've got a day game out at Yankee Stadium to wrap up this 4-game series against the Angels, and the Mets are giving the Braves life. They gave them life 2 nights ago. They gave them more life last night as Chris Sale does what he does, and the Mets offense doesn't do a damn thing. And here we are in June, frustrated. And the I told you so guys are coming out. I could just hear it. My friends, the callers, the I told you so's. The I told you so's about Aaron Judge not hitting in clutch moments. The I told you so's about Anthony Volpe making errors in key spots. The I told you so's about Aaron Boone making mistakes. And the I told you so's about the Mets having a June swoon and it can't be this good. Well, calm down. I'm telling you that it's going to be okay. Take a deep breath. We are here to bring the positive vibes like we always do. We're never negative here on Boomer and Geo. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. Fliegelman asked me this morning a pretty direct question about whether or not I'd been here for an entire week of both the Mets and the Yankees losing together.
There's no way.
And so I've been here for 18 years. And I wouldn't remember. I have no idea if there's been a week since I've sat in this chair where both of these teams have lost every night of the week that I was able to come in the next morning and discuss.
Now, has anybody brought that up yet? I'm sure that one of these baseball writers has said this is the first time since the Yankees and Mets lost a combined 11 games since.
It may be the first time ever. I mean, it's really, really hard to do.
I would think it'd be pretty rare.
Especially with the success that the Yankees have had consistently forever.
I don't know. How far are we away from hearing about how Brian Cashman doesn't have the right to rebuild the Yankees? I mean, that's where I feel like we are right now, especially with, the things that went on last night with Anthony Volpe. And then, of course, you have Torrens with a catcher's balk. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the guys on the, obviously Keith and Gary are like, what happened? We don't see anything. It doesn't look like Blackburn did anything. And then obviously they got the explanation.
Scoop up with the mask.
Right. And it looked like the second base umpire was the one who called it.
Yeah.
And which was really strange because, obviously I have never seen that before. I can't sit here and tell you that I even knew that was a rule.
Me either. And it was very odd. And it was also, you think about Torrens, he knew it because he starts to do it and then immediately drops his mask. Like it got on fire for a second. So he knew what he was doing was wrong in a game. So, but he just obviously still did it. And then coming off of Francisco Alvarez's disastrous season so far, both offensively and defensively, and we're sitting here talking about give Torrens more playing time, then here comes Torrens and does
strange.
Something stupid like
it's
that.
It's a strange thing. I mean, and that's where the Yankees and the Mets are right now. Their offenses are not good enough to overcome their defensive lapses. I think it was probably Aaron Boone who said it. We have to be better in other areas when we're not hitting. You have to play almost perfect defensive baseball, smart base running, things of that nature. And it's interesting that, Aaron Boone is, obviously going to start feeling a lot of the pressure from the fan base just simply because that's the way it works around here. You lose, you have losing streaks, your team looks disinterested, your team makes mistakes, your team strikes out a lot. Who do people come down on?
Well, they'll come down on the best players and then the manager. For sure. I mean, so I think that the...
I've been through this way too many times.
Yeah, well, of course.
It's way too early for this kind of crap.
Yeah. But, at the same time, it's 11 straight between the two teams is abnormal. The only thing that really concerns me, and well, there's two things I think are big issues for both teams. And the one with the Mets is the fact that they had an opportunity once again to go down to Atlanta and do damage to this team, whether it is, you know, like a couple years ago where they could have won the division and did not, or this year where this team is in complete disarray and they could have squashed them like a lantern fly and they end up giving them life. Like, just the way that the game ended on Tuesday night, and then the way that the game started last night, it's like, okay, here we go. We gave the Braves the smelling salts that they needed to get going. So that's what really pisses me off about what's going on with the Mets.
Say the same thing for the Yankees and the Red Sox.
True, but then the Red Sox trade Devers. We'll see how that ends up working out. But yes, over the long haul. And with the Yankees, Aaron Judge, obviously, when he struggles, the offense struggles as a whole. He, of course, will come out of it. He'll have a great offensive season. We'll see what he ends up doing in the postseason. But the fact that...
I know what the problem with the Yankees is.
What's that?
Chase rate.
Oh, chase rate. Yeah. Chase rate's terrible.
I mean, when, you know, and I was listening to those guys last night, and they were talking about chase rate. They love talking about chase rate. And, you know, they had the one of the best chase rates... The first, 50 games?
And then they're the best offense over the 50 games.
Yeah, right. In the last six or seven games, they've had the worst chase rate.
Well, I think that goes
there. There you go. I mean, I think that speaks volumes. But chase rate has nothing to do with making defensive plays.
Well, yeah. So that's where I was going with the Yankees. And Volpe's offensive struggles since coming up have been well documented. And now his defensive struggles in key situations are well documented. We talk about, you know, guys having yips and guys clamming up in certain situations, like Pete Alonso tossing a ball to a pitcher at first base. Anthony Volpe in clutch moments when the ball gets hit to him, he loses it. I mean, it's bizarre. He's a great defensive player when it's like the first, second, third, fourth inning. You know, when it's late in these games, you remember last year, big issues late in games, and this is just another one of those, oh crap, it's the end of the game, I can make a great play, it's a routine play, and all of a sudden I've got stone hands.
Yeah, well, it's a mental thing, just like it is with Pete Alonso at first base. And even last night, Pete Alonso makes a really nice play in the field, doesn't have much time to think about it, and throws a strike to first base.
There you go.
And, you know, Keith Hernandez and Gary were talking about that last night. It's the same thing with I think it's the same thing with Anthony Volpe. I mean, look, you just got to convince yourself, look, you could do this. You've done this a million times.
I mean, and that was a tailor-made.
And that was a great thing about Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter, when the game was on the line, Derek Jeter would always make the play or do something incredibly spectacular to make a play.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Anthony Volpe at times does not make the everyday play routine like he needs to.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up Jeter in terms of Volpe, because when I was driving in and hearing a caller and Babe Ruth and Aaron Judge and C-Mac arguing with these guys, it made me think that as great as it is to be able to be a Major League Baseball player and put on those pinstripes and play at Yankee Stadium and put on the most recognizable logos in the world when it comes to sports, it also has to suck that no matter where you are, what position you're playing, there's someone who had done it better than you.
Yes.
So much so that you're always going to get compared good or bad. It's like, so Aaron Judge has been so spectacular, but he gets compared to every Yankee that won a championship that hit better than him in the postseason. His regular seasons get compared to Babe friggin' Ruth. He's not Babe Ruth. He's not this. He's not that. It's like, my God. I mean, in any other franchise, if Aaron Judge came up and was doing what he was doing, they'd already have a statue for him. But the fact that he's got the pinstripes on, now everybody's going back, well, he's not Babe Ruth, he's not Derek Jeter, he's not this, he's not Reggie Jackson in the postseason. It's like, holy crap. And then with Volpe, yes, Volpe has been disappointing. But the fact that he is a homegrown shortstop, he can't get out of that shadow ever. And I do it, you do it, everybody does it. When you make an error like that, Jeter wouldn't have done that. I mean, even with Aaron Judge. Well, Jeter hit in the postseason. Jeter was Mr. October, Mr. November.
Well, I mean,
he was Mr. November. We had Mr. November, Mr. October, and Judge is Mr. July.
But that's the good part of who Derek Jeter is. That's a great part of who Eli Manning is.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody's going to be compared to those guys in those big moments. And
but no more so than the Yankees in any other sport, because they've been around for so long.
Plus, they have so many retired numbers.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and, you know, they got the Monument Park out there. They got
no
the
matter
Ota.
Who you are, you're going to be compared to somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, they, you know, I saw the post to a thing that we do here on the radio, and it's the Mount Rushmore of the Knicks.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, like, you have like 19 Mount Rushmores for the Yankees.
True. Did you? That was behind a paywall. You know, you.
I saw it.
You saw it. Okay. Yeah. I did not.
Yeah. So, according to the fans who voted in it, you know, obviously it was Patrick Ewing, Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, and Jalen Brunson.
Oh, Brunson made it. Well.
Oh, he made it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, and why wouldn't he make it?
Yeah.
Give me another player since Patrick Ewing left.
I'm not falling into the New York Post.
I know.
I'm going to stay above.
But
it.
I'm just saying, like, this is the problem with the Yankees.
Yeah,
is that you have so many guys at so many positions that had so many legacy type careers that when you come and you put on the pinstripes, I'm sure Bellinger feels this way. Goldschmidt may feel this way. I'm just thinking about the guys that haven't been here and have watched this from afar and that are now here. You got to believe that they're like, I can't believe that I'm playing in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm sure everybody that puts that uniform on, but there's other, you know, when you're the homegrown guy, it's different. Like you get Bellinger and Goldschmidt here, and, you know, Max Fried's going to be here for a long time. Bellinger and Goldschmidt probably not as long. And by the way, that Bellinger home run last night was exactly what everybody was envisioning when he put a Yankee uniform on.
Short porch, less short.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to have that guy.
Exactly. What they drew up. But it's the homegrown guys. And I think, too, like those are the guys that we love the most when they do well, and we're hardest on when they do poorly. And that's what's going on with Volpe. That's what's going on with Francisco Alvarez. And you dream of these guys when they're the top prospects in baseball of being there for 15 years and being your guy. And when it doesn't pan out the way you want it to, it's frustrating because you heard all those years about, you know, this guy's an untouchable, that guy's an untouchable when it comes to trades. You know, we can't trade him. He's going to be our future shortstop. Can't trade him. He's going to be our catcher for 15 years. And when they're scuffling for a couple of years in a row, you're thinking, well, that's not working out. And unfortunately, with the Mets, it feels like, you know, a lot of their homegrown guys that are the top of the top don't pan out the way that you want them to, especially with pitching. So I really hope that Alvarez turns it around. And Volpe at this point, man, I don't want the pressure and the noise to get to him because he's a New Jersey guy who's the Yankee shortstop, for God's sakes. It's all he ever wanted to do. And he's really at a crossroads right now of where his career is going to go. I mean, that's a fact. And I'm not saying that it's over. I'm not saying that he's done. But from here to the end of the season is going to determine if his future is going to be in that uniform or somewhere else.
Well, you know, he got off to a great start this year, and everybody seemed to be pretty happy with it.
With the torpedo bat, remember
that
conversation?
Yeah, with the torpedo bat and all that other stuff.
And what happened to those things?
Yeah, they're still there, actually, but nobody seems to be talking about them. But, and I think he goes through, you know, big shifts offensively. You know, there'll be a week where he'll have, you know, 7 hits in a week, and then there'll be like 2 weeks where he has 3 hits. So as long as he plays a solid defensive shortstop, that's the key. The metrics for him, like he can be a run producer. There's no question about it. But he cannot be a defensive liability.
Especially in big moments. I mean,
but that's the thing.
He's got that reputation now.
And it's unfortunate. And the only way he can get out of it is to play his way out of it. I don't see them having an alternative at the moment. So he's not under. I don't believe any under pressure to lose his job right now.
No. It would have to be much worse.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm just talking about his future as someone that's a building block for the Yankees going forward, which he always was. I mean, and now that's being called into question.
Right. All right. So you were just talking about the Yankees. You talk about all those great numbers, the legacy, the Yankee Stadium, the brand, and the brand is an awesome brand. And if you would say who are the top 5 or 6 brands.
Don't blow the Lakers topic with 3 minutes before the break, please.
No, I'm just asking you. Like, where would you put the Yankees in terms of branding? Like, they have to be number one.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, absolutely. Yep, indeed. I would always do that. The Cowboys. Well, I mean, the Yankees, just because they've been around the longest and there's the most the most history with the great players and America's pastime going back. But, I mean, I do think that the Dallas Cowboys now, you know, where the NFL is in relation to the rest of the sports has to be right at the tip of everybody's tongue.
When I think of legacy franchises and I think of legacy players and managers and, you know, owners that have stood the test of time, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they've been around longer than anybody else, and it's just, it's a brand that is as iconic as it gets. And people, you know, people come here just like people go to England to go to see Liverpool or, you know, one of those great soccer teams. You know, people come here to go see Yankee Stadium and to see Yankee baseball.
That's right.
I mean, millions of tourists do that.
And without a doubt, as we'll get into it a little bit later, when the Buss family sells the Lakers for $10 billion, you can't tell me that that Steinbrenner group chat wasn't humming yesterday. You can't tell me that the Yankee-Steinbrenner group chat wasn't humming.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry out today. That means we have CeeLo in, and Boomer was glaring at CeeLo as he walked into the studio. I'm not exactly sure why.
Well, I heard you said that he got a new haircut.
Well, he did, yes, when you were out, and it looks, it's grown in a little bit, but it was... The reason why this haircut looks so much better to me is because his previous haircut was one of the worst haircuts that was ever given to a man.
A few back, yeah.
And he had to fix it himself. Which was,
I didn't really.
It was. So. I mean, he came in here. He looked like Mr. T.
Someone took a lawnmower to my head.
All right. So, but yeah, but the, when you were saying how good his hair looked, it was because he had like a mohawk.
Well, no.
No.
No, 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 no. No, this, no, his hair now, it's, which is normal CeeLo hair.
Yeah. It's, yeah,
it's just that, it looks that, good. That couple haircuts ago where he had the Mr. T hair. That's what
dreadful.
I
right. It was dreadful. The bar horrible. Was set low. So, yeah. You know.
It's just that he's dressed like he's going on a first grade field trip. That's all.
Yeah. This is a great shirt.
Stand up.
Yeah, it's just, it's Boomer doesn't like
I mean,
like
no,
the,
no, nobody can like see. The, you got the, shorts
the,
on.
Okay. And shorts thing.
You got yeah. shorts on and
they're
everything.
Nice, they're nice blue shorts. They match the shirt, you know?
Man, things summertime. Are lax. Things are lax around
wait,
here.
Wait, excuse me. Do you never wear shorts in here?
No.
Oh, come on.
It's very rare.
Eddie?
It's very rare.
Oh, it's happened.
Thank it's you. Happened, but it's rare.
Okay.
It's like one of those things.
I wouldn't say rare.
And by the way, it is rare. And if I do wear shorts, they're either those really nice Flag and Anthem golf shorts that we
yes,
have.
Yes, absolutely.
Or I wear my friend Andrew Red Vanley's shorts, who makes great golf shorts.
Like you're not wearing the gym shorts.
I'm not looking like I'm going on a field trip for first graders.
Listen, I think this shirt is fitting for the way that the baseball teams are playing right now.
Are you sending a, so you're sending a message with your shirt?
Just trying to be thematical with my shirt. How's
all
that?
All right. Okay. You know? Fine. Yeah.
That's
fine.
Another one of those things that was drilled into my head with Chernoff being here all those
same,
years.
Yeah.
Was the shorts pants thing, and I still do it.
But again, Olive came to the newsroom.
I know.
Sorry, the architect, and said, "Hey, it's radio. New rule here. You want to wear shorts in the summer? Wear shorts."
And also, that rule was selective because Mike wore shorts whenever he damn well felt like, and flip flops. And Chernoff said. Nothing.
Well, of course not.
And yeah. The same with Boomer and Craig.
No, yeah.
They wore shorts.
And that was Craig nothing. More than me. I have more respect for the people who run the business around here.
Unless it's 90 degrees at 6 a.m.
Yeah. It was funny because there was one time Mike came in. You know, this is when I was producing. And he came in with his seersucker shorts on. And they were like, they looked unbelievable. So I said, Mike, you know, I got to get a pair of those shorts. And he's like, you can't get these shorts. You can't have these shorts. You can't get these shorts. All right, these are custom made. Okay, you're not getting these shorts. Okay, so you want the shorts, you can't have the shorts. Okay. He'd love those seersucker shorts, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, those were the days, man. You know, those were the days.
Were they?
No,
those
not
were
really.
The days, if those were the days, then what are these days?
Hell of a lot better.
Okay.
Those were the days sitting back there in the newsroom wondering where the hell my life was going to go. try to get Mike to talk to me.
You're in a much better place.
No, I was not.
You're in a much better place now. Yeah.
Much better place for sure. All right, CeeLo, what's going on?
All right, it wasn't all on Anthony Volpe last night, but he's in the crosshairs right now, and Wednesday's performance certainly didn't help his cause, beginning with this and a tie game in the eighth after the Yankees had actually scored a couple of runs for a chance.
This is loaded. One out, 2-0. Bouncing ball to Volpe. Bobbles! Throws away! Try to get it to Peraza. Run scores. It's 3-2 Angels. Boy, that was a double play written all over.
Except it wasn't. Dave Sims here.
That's a killer. That is a killer.
It sure was.
Oh, God, yes it is.
Gave the Angels the lead into the ninth inning.
It took me a while to find it.
Yeah, true. Well,
Prime Video situation?
Yeah, it's Prime Video. I'm like, that's right. It's Prime Video night.
Well, you found it. Maybe just in time for him to boot that ball there.
Man, they've sold their soul. I mean, honestly. I mean, the fact that it's all over the place, and it's especially because it's the Yankees. I mean, God almighty.
I mean, let's not act like, I mean, there's a lot of teams on a lot of different platforms these days.
Yeah, I know. It's MLB's fault.
Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, okay. They get to the ninth inning, and there was Volpe with a chance to atone for his big error and extend the game, perhaps facing veteran closer Kenley Jansen.
Here's the pitch from Jansen. Swing, and a miss struck him out. And the Yankee losing streak goes to six ball games, and the Yankees have lost this series to the Angels.
3-2, the final 95-mile-per-hour cutter pretty much right down the middle. He was way under it. He actually fell to one knee, taking such a big hack. Volpe 0 for 4, 3 Ks. He was also caught stealing in this game. Here he was on the big error afterwards.
I mean, right off the bat, I got to be aggressive. Go get the ball, make the play. As far as that's all it is. It's the first read off the bat.
And he sat back, let the ball play him instead. We know how that worked out. Now, bottom of the eighth, after the Yanks fell behind, they get the first couple of guys on. They turn the lineup over for Trent Grisham. Aaron Boone again puts the bunt on. Grisham bunts foul. Then he takes it off, just like he did with DJ LeMahieu in the opener of this series. And it didn't work out that time. Didn't work out this time either, as Grisham fouled out to the catcher.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Guys can't lay down a bunt.
No.
Well, I mean, it's also, so did he took it off after 0-1 and not when the count was 2-1?
I think it was 2-1, but my point is there was one attempt.
Gotcha. All right.
And then he took it off because he said the Angels were playing the bunt very aggressively.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen,
when they lose, man, no matter what they say after the game, it's going to look bad. It's going to sound bad. Everybody's going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
Get rid of this guy. Fire that one. You know, we've been down this road 1,000 times. But I don't think we've been down this road for 5 straight days where both teams have lost every day.
Yeah, 11 straight.
I got to get to the bottom of that. I heard you mention that.
Well, Fleegs asked me that question. I'm like, Fleegs, I don't know.
Yeah, Fleegs, you're supposed to tell us the answers to those questions.
If you ask me a question like that, you've got to give me the answer. Yeah.
Well, right. I was just pondering while we were doing the minutes, like, have you ever had a week like this? Because this is 5 days or 4 days in a row. It could be 5 of just misery.
Now, you did have the weekend, so that's a little different. You know, it's like a Monday to Friday situation, like a full work week for you. And now it could be by the time we get to the end of the
week. Well, we'll see what happens when we get here tomorrow.
Yeah, the way things are going right now. So I'll see if I can get the answer to that for you before next hour. You did have solo home runs in this game from Jazz Chisholm and Cody Bellinger to snap the scoreless streak, but the losing streak hit 6. They'll try to avoid the sweep this afternoon. Carlos Rodon, Tyler Anderson with pregame here on The Fan and the Free Odyssey app beginning at 12:25.
You should take the Yankees in the over.
No.
Today's explosion day.
It is not explosion day.
Yeah, it is.
Problem is, Al and I said that on
Tuesday.
That's you and Al. I mean, it's me and Gio now.
Explosion day?
You speak things into existence. So
I do.
You should do that.
I don't think getaway days are ever explosion days.
Oh, it is.
Very rare
this
that you
feels
get
to me like an explosion day.
Thursday afternoon, explosion day.
Oh, yeah.
No, those games
it's
are like 12, 2 hours
two
and 10
nice
romp
weather,
today.
Sun's out.
Guy's going to get some statistics going again. That'd be good.
Who's pitching for the Angels? Not that it really matters.
Tyler Anderson.
All right. What do we know about him?
I don't know. You can dig into his metrics during the break.
He's solid, and he's a lefty.
Nah, not explosion day. You know what they need is we need a solid star from Carlos Rodon. This is a big stopper spot.
There you go.
Stopper spot
for Rodon. All right, the Mets off a brutal loss to the Braves Tuesday got Chris Sale'd last night, but also found themselves in an early hole as Ronald Acuna Jr. homered on Paul Blackburn's first pitch in the bottom of the
first. I'd be like, you sit down there, I sit down with my Casamigos, I'm like ready to go, and boom! out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then after the way the game ended the previous night.
And then just a few batters later, you had this as well.
And Ozuna wouldn't bite at that. And again, Torrens able to block it.
Torrens, so athletic.
What's the call? Buck? Look at Torrens. When he goes after the ball, he uses his mask to touch the ball, which is patently illegal.
I love the disgust in Gary's voice.
Patently illegal.
Patently illegal. Yeah, 3-0 after one, and the Braves on their way to a 5-0 shutout of the Mets with Sale going 8 2/3, 5 hits, a walk, 7 strikeouts. Here's Francisco Lindor on the difficulty of facing and seeing Sale with that unique arm angle, even for a right-handed batter.
Looks like he's coming from second base, from the second baseman. Hats off to him today. He executed, he had a good game plan. And he beat us.
He sure did. Lindor, Soto, and Alonso combined to go 0-for-12 with 5 strikeouts as Atlanta handed the Mets a 5th straight loss. One more, and they will undo the 6-game winning streak they put together just last week. Back to the Torrens play, Carlos Mendoza kind of stating the obvious here.
Oh, mental mistake there. You know, he knows the rule. He knows that he can't do it. You know, just a mental error there.
And he, too, was 0-for-4 at the plate.
Another mental error.
Yeah. MEs, can't have them. Got to get Francisco Alvarez going as well.
I know, but how are we going to get him going?
I don't know, but Luis Torrens is not an everyday catcher. You know, I know he's had a nice start
to
the year.
Give him some Duckalax and let's get him cleaned out and let's see what happens.
Well, yeah, Mike Vaccaro said send him down. That was a big column.
That's what I said the other day.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, I know. Well, Vaccaro, he wrote a column about it.
All right. Did he really?
He did.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, yesterday.
You didn't catch that post article?
No. After yesterday's show.
That's
not before. Yeah.
I think she was alluding that he might have hijacked your idea.
He did.
There you go. Mets try to salvage tonight's series finale.
I would set his ass down and say, listen, you know, it's time to get serious. Like, yeah, you can work hard as all you want. Either you can do this or you can't. And if you got room to go ahead and move guys around, then you gotta start sending messages. You really do.
All right. Well, we'll see if Clay Holmes can send a message tonight. He is matched up against Spencer Strider, 7:15 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. The Phillies are within a game of the Mets, doubled up the Marlins 4-2. Nick Castellanos back in the lineup after that 1-game benching. He was 2-for-5 with a double. So you got the Phils breathing down the Mets' neck atop the NL East, and the Rays are now doing the same to the Yankees.
The pitch.
Lined up the middle. It's a diving attempt and off the glove of Halladay. Rounding third, Diaz, the throw by Henderson. Safe at home. Rays have taken a 9-8 lead.
That's Rays Radio. They trailed the Orioles 8-0 after 2. They come all the way back for a 12-8 victory. Featured a 4-run 7th.
So that team is up for sale, too.
Yeah. $1.7 billion was the word.
Oh.
Which seemed high for the Rays, but then just a few hours later, you get the Lakers story and $10 billion, and it's like, whoa.
And obviously, the Rays have got to get a new stadium, and you know that will be a part of the sale.
Another one of these groups that's a Jacksonville home builder that's trying to get it
consortium.
In.
Consortium.
Oh.
Another consortium.
Another consortium worth, $500 billion?
Well, I know TGW Group, I think it's called.
Or TWG.
TWG. Okay, TWG. Thank you, Cielo.
I think
they have $400 billion under assets.
Not bad.
God. Well, for now, the Rays, owned by Stu Sternberg, come back to win that game. They're within a game and a half of the Yankees atop the AL East. The Dodgers also walked off the Padres 4-3 to sweep that series. They've taken 5 out of 6 from San Diego so far this season. Yes, we just alluded to it. The Buss family entering into an agreement to sell majority ownership of the Lakers to Mark Walter, who's the chairman of the Dodgers. He's part of that consortium as well, which has Magic Johnson as well. $10 billion, which would be the highest ever for a U.S. pro sports franchise.
You know what that makes me think of? Jim Doan always sells at the highest point.
Mm.
Is this the highest point? And would he consider selling MSG, the Rangers, and the Knicks? And if he could, how much do you think that would go for?
I don't know, but it seems like anyone
17
could get
to 20 billion?
Top dollar right
probably.
Now. 17 to 20. Wow.
For two franchises
two,
and
okay,
the Garden.
Two franchises
and the Garden.
Be a lot of cash, that's for sure. The Buss family is going to keep a minority share of the team, and Jeannie Buss, I guess, for a number of years will continue as Lakers governor. But you're talking about a transition of power here, so we'll see what shakes out for that. You've also got NBA Finals game number 6 tonight as the Thunder go for the closeout of the Pacers. Tyrese Haliburton expected to be a game-time decision with his calf strains. We'll see about his status, but clearly he'll be at less than 100% with his team facing elimination on their home floor.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you open up TikTok, you can't scroll two or three videos until you get to somebody dancing to this.
Yeah.
And this has got to be right in the Boomer wheelhouse, 1981. Carl Carlton. And I just, there's something about like the...
A one-hit wonder.
Yeah, no doubt. But there's something about like the Gen Z enjoying the 1980s and 1970s music that really makes me happy.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
Welcome to when there was no social media.
Boom, 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 boom. And all you get all these young people dancing and everything. It's great.
Yeah, I think it,
there
is,
it
great.
It's great. You know, just a little taste of the past.
They busting on us, us. They bust on us boomers. But,
yes.
You know, at the end of the day, they love our music.
That's right. Yes.
You Gen Z.
Yes.
There you go.
You Gen Z P word. And welcome to Bad Mamma Jamma.
I mean, they're all allergic to everything else.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure whether I should laugh at that or feel bad for these guys, because we brought that up to Big Intern yesterday, and he apparently has to carry an EpiPen at all times. I mean, it's not his fault.
Can't eat peanut butter, peanuts, or
it's
anything
not
like
his
that.
Fault. It's not their fault, I guess, right? I mean, it's something that's when they were children that... Well,
you know, it was really interesting, because when Gunner was in grade school, you know, because of Gunner's disease, they don't digest food properly.
Right.
And one of the big things that is that was and is really good for him is peanut butter, the protein and peanuts and things. And he loved it. He loved the Snickers bars. And, you know, we would just trying to get him to eat anything he possibly could to put some weight on him. And then somebody shows up with a peanut allergy and a whole school shuts down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I it's like, all right.
Because it can be fatal to somebody.
I know it can be, but it also could be fatal to somebody like Gunner to not get the proper nutrition that he needs. You know, right. I mean, it's like it's a balance. It's a balancing act, you know. And believe me, I mean, I understand where parents are coming from, and certainly Big Intern is big enough to handle himself now.
Damn right. So the other thing, this was another Ask Eddie thing, is I did a lot of scrolling yesterday. I'm not proud of myself, but I did do a lot of scrolling. So I came across a video that was on TikTok, got millions of likes, millions and millions of likes. But there was no example attached to it. And I said, I'm going to remember this and I'm going to ask Eddie. So a guy goes on, he says, listen, if you are a dog owner and you've got two dogs and you see these dogs play and they play in and they're playing playfully outside, like my dogs actually play great together outside now. He's like, you'll notice that they'll do a fake sneeze before they start playing. They'll go, and that is a signal that they're just playing and they're not going to be aggressive. Like, so he goes, if you do that to your dog, any dog, he says, that they'll look at you and their eyes will go wide open as if to say, wow, he learned our language.
And now, did you try this?
I didn't, because I was watching this in bed right before I went to sleep and I wasn't going to go downstairs as I was falling asleep and go, in my dog's face. But I'm wondering, Eddie, had you ever heard of anything like this?
I have seen that behavior, but more the universal let's play is that when they just pat the ground in front of them with both paws.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
And that goes to other canine species, like to wolves and whatnot also.
Okay. So I'm going to try that. You got to try that today.
I've definitely done the...
Oh, you've done that?
The paw thing, absolutely.
You see, Eddie? Let's go. Come on, let's have a good
and time. They respond immediately.
Yeah,
I'm gonna. Now you got to go and sneeze.
You go. I'm like thinking, like, luckily it's a sneeze and not a cough because.
But you know, there are big sneezes, like when they shake their head and they go.
There's that, but yeah. that's not a real sneeze. Okay. This is like a fake, sort of like almost a churn off.
Do they move the snout also though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Chernoff was being playful all those years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just messing around. You suck. That was the worst segment I ever heard. Just kidding. I'm playing around. Here are my paws.
Yeah.
So now I got to try it.
Oh, man.
I have to try that today. I'm going to go right up to Elvis when I get home. I'm going to go, hey, Elvis. And if his eyes go open, I go, oh, my God, he can talk.
Yeah, but the amazing thing is, though, and I'm sure this happens to you, when you walk through the door, he is happy to see you.
Oh, of course. Yeah, the tail's flopping around. Right. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let's go to Vic in Fairfield. What's going on, Vic?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Vic, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer, when you come into the studio, do you do the thing so that you know you're going to have, everybody knows you're going to have a good day?
No, usually just farts. That's his sign of he's having a playful day.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Vic, I've never had a bad day in the studio. Never.
Wow.
That's great.
There you go. So that's why I'm still here.
Yeah. Elvis, and a lot of people a lot of people have had dogs, like that dog where you can look into its eyes and you're like this is something other than just my pet. I'm communicating through the eyeballs of this dog. Like I would not be surprised if one day I came home and Elvis just like looked up and he was like, hey.
He's becoming more human by the day.
Because he puts his paw on me when he wants to get the attention. Like, I'm sitting on the couch, and there he is. Look at the big boy.
Yeah.
And then he'll put his paw on me, and I'm like, it's time to eat. You know? And then I'd get up like nothing. Like, oh, that's right, Elvis, thank you for reminding me.
Well, he's got his routine now.
Yeah, no, but he is more and more human, and Gunner's got a human dog like that. See, look at
us.
Look, he's like, oh, Uncle Boomer. You're bigger in person than I expected.
But smaller versus big intern.
Oh, yes, yes. Big intern was...
his sensation on social media yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I guess when you look at the picture like that, I mean, you know, we were in here and we saw him, but I just that angle, whatever. Yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah, I didn't realize how big he was.
Yeah, that angle was really, really large. So, yeah, definitely a big deal. And, you know, I had people all over the country that were texting me going... Wow, I've never seen anything like it. And
they know why we called them big intern.
Right, exactly. And there's also video proof out there for people who didn't believe it as we interviewed him in the studio and you could see how big he was. So, yeah, so Spike Eskin and Andrew Filippone, two guys that I find to be very sharp, you know, reached out to me and said, wow, man, like unbelievable. I was like, he doesn't play basketball in Indiana. I said, no, he quit basketball in high school.
I had a bunch of people last night texting me the same thing.
Yeah.
And Drew Kalisky from CBS's NFL Today.
Yeah.
It's like, that guy is huge.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just knowing you being, you know, 6'4", I mean, I think he's something like 7'7", 7'8", something like that. So, big dude. And we're happy that he's here. Let's go to Anthony in West Haven, Connecticut. Wants to talk some Yanks. What's going on, Anthony?
Oh, I tell you, that's a big intern. I couldn't get over it when I saw that pitch. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's jarring.
Oh, it is huge.
It's jarring.
Huge.
But listen, the Yankees not being able to bunt, most frustrating thing I've ever seen. And it's all of them in key spots when you need them to just lay down a bunt. They can't do it.
Yeah, you know, Anthony, it's funny because I feel like we've had this phone call probably every year for the last 5 years from Yankee fans.
I want to say last year for every 18 years.
Yeah, maybe. And the fundamentals as far as bunting and these things, you don't see it as much these days in baseball, of course, launch angle and OPS and all of that stuff. And the few times that you really want to do it, especially when your offense has been scuffling in the way the Yankees' offense has been scuffling with Trent Grisham up last night, you want to see him execute that properly. And there's also the argument, too, that if you do that and now you got executed properly, you got second and third, one out and first base open with Judge.
They would walk him.
They would walk Judge. But it just the point being that, you know, you either put it on and keep it on, you know, or until there's two strikes or you don't put it on.
Sometimes you just overthink things, the simple things.
Yeah.
And that goes for the manager as well as the players.
But also, because they haven't scored runs, you're thinking like Aaron Boone's probably, that's why he's overthinking.
Yeah, you know, yeah, of course. He's trying to manufacture runs any way he can. And I also think like the same thing for Anthony Volpe. Like, all right, so you know that there's a man on first. You know that the ball is hit sharply to you. You're going to have a very good chance at a double play. And you're overthinking it. You're probably pre-thinking it, you know, because you always have to wonder where the ball is going to be hit. And if it's hit to you, where do you go with the ball? So he knew all of that. He just didn't execute the easy part, and that was fielding the ball.
Yes.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.